and their burden there. 1 Kings chapter number 18, if you there, say amen. Amen. Let's begin in verse number 36. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you tonight, Lord, I pray, God, right now in this moment that you would help me to preach, Lord, in a way that would convey the message that you placed upon my heart. And I'll give you glory for that which you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, we talked about this morning about the precursor to this event and what was going on here and what Elijah did and what he told the people that how long halt you between two opinions. Choose you, who, as Joseph said in Genesis 50, choose you this day whom you will serve. He was telling them you're going to have to either admit that the Lord is God and allow Him to have that place in your life, or you're going to have to turn and go the other way. And He did that by setting up a standoff, if you will, a competition to see whose God was really God. And so here's what He told the prophets of Baal. He said, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to let you go first. You're going to get you a bullock, and I'm going to get me a bullock. Verse 23, let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under. And you call you on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. He said, here's what we're going to do, boys. We're going to have a challenge. We're going to see which God has the ability to send the fire to burn up the sacrifice. He said, I want you guys to go first. Go ahead and get your stuff together. Dress out your bullock. Put it on the altar and see what happens. And so that's exactly what they began to do. And the Bible says, verse number 26, and they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, oh, Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. Ain't that just like the world when it don't work the way they want it to? They just tear it down. When it don't turn out in their favor, they just tear it apart. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud. Now there's some people who look at that and say, well, that he shouldn't have done that. Hey, look up in here. He was adding fuel to their fire. He wanted to make sure that there was nothing left to be said when this was over. He said, y'all ain't hollering loud enough. Look what it says. Cry aloud, for he is a God. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awake. He said, y'all's God must be asleep. He can't hear you. Y'all need to holler louder. Jump up there some more. Don't that sound...
Now, I'll tell you what it sounds like. It sounds like the charismatic movement in the modern day church. Yes, ain't nothing happening. It ain't happening the way they want to. So let's just act more foolish. Yeah. Let's run. Let's do some more circles. Let's jump up and down some more. Let's scream and holler and act and make fool of ourselves a little bit more. Maybe it'll work. That's because they look at God like He's some kind of magic genie in a bottle. Yes. And they can formulate to do what they want to with it.
Oh, please.
Elijah said, must be asleep. And they cried aloud, verse 28, and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them.
Don't that sound like the world? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When they tore everything else up, they start tearing themselves up. Mm-hmm. Look at them right now. Look what they're doing right now. They've so perverted themselves that they cannot be satisfied physically. So they start mutilating themselves, hoping that's going to get them to where they need to get to.
Y'all understand what I'm saying?
I ain't got to my message yet. I preach short this morning, preach long tonight. Y'all might as well buckle up and hang on. And it came to pass, when midday was passed, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. First of all, before I get to the next verse, let me say this. I titled this message, How Elijah Got the Fire. How are we going to get God to move? Elijah's modeling for us here what it looks like to do it the wrong way, what it looks like to do it the right way. Elijah had a challenge here, and he needed to get God to move. The first thing he had to do was take a stand. Back up verse number 21, he said, How long halt you between two opinions? If Baal is God, follow him. If the Lord be God, follow him. He had to take a stand and pick a side. We talked about that this morning. He had to make up his mind. Am I going to be on God's team or on the other team? Can I tell you something, Christian? If you want to be able to have some power of God in your life, you're going to have to at some point pick a side and take a stand. You're going to have to at some point decide the Lord is God and that's who I'm going to follow. He took a stand. But what I want you to see is, he didn't just take a stand, he did it the right way.
Amen.
He gave them ample opportunity. And then it's very significant the time that he put a stop to it. Verse number 30. And Elijah came, said unto all the people, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. That's significant, remember that. Why does that matter? Because there's a specific time this thing's supposed to be done.
Amen.
And Elijah knew that. There's a time for sacrifice, and there's time for other things.
Amen.
Are y'all with me? Say amen.
Amen.
Let's say it like this. Maybe I put it in the church age. Y'all okay with that? All the Bible may not be written directly to me, but it is written directly for me. Okay? Put it in the church age. Well, preacher, I just think you can have church anywhere. You can have church in your truck driving down the road. And I say amen to that. You can have church on your lawnmower cutting grass. And I say amen to that. But on 10 o'clock on Sunday morning, you're supposed to be having church at church.
There's a time that set aside certain things. Hey, listen, you can't finish right if you don't start right. Elijah gave them their chance, but when it came time for the sacrifice to the true God,
please,
he said, all right, y'all, sit down and shut up. I'm fixing to show you how to do this thing.
Please.
I'm fixing to show you how this is supposed to go. Verse number 30, and Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. See, Elijah stepped in. He said, all right, that's enough of that foolishness. It's time for the real sacrifice. Come here. And all the people came near unto him. And, hey, by the way, if he hadn't have let them go first and proved the point that their God would not answer, he wouldn't have had this kind of attention to what God was fixing to do. Sometimes you just got to let somebody that is anti-God, anti-Christ, that the Bible says that a fool says in his heart there is no God. Sometimes you just got to let a fool do something foolish so everybody knows he's a fool. Amen. The book of Proverbs tells us that. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou become like unto him. In the next passage, it says, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be lifted up with pride. There's a time to let them make, my daddy used to say it like this, better to keep to be quiet and let everybody think I'm stupid than to open my mouth and remove all doubt. There's a time to let somebody show themselves, and then there's a time to step in and take charge of the situation. Elijah stepped in at the right time. Look what he did. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down.
You know what Elijah said right to start off with? He said, before we do this thing, we're going to have to get some stuff straight. Hey, y'all, if you want the Lord to move in your life, you're going to have to get some stuff straight first.
That's right.
Hey, I'm glad you saved. I'm glad you're on your way to heaven. But look up in here. You're never going to have the power of God in your life until you get some things repaired.
That's right.
There's some things you didn't get straight if you expect God to move in your life. God's fire only came down to one kind of altar, and that was the one that was built the way God said it was supposed to be built. And Elijah knew enough to know that he needed to fix what they had tore up before things was going to get any better. Before I planted this church, I went and interim pastored at another church. And when I got there, there was kind of a bad situation. Things had gotten pretty bad. And I remember the feeling, and I love those people, but I remember feeling like, okay, we got a long ways to go before we can get started. Because we ain't going nowhere until we get some things straight. Some of us need to look at our life and realize we got a long way to go before we can get started. There's some basic things in your life need to be right if you're expecting to have the power of God in your life. People call me and they say, "Preacher, I've been praying about this for so long, God just ain't answering my prayers." Well, listen, if I was God, I wouldn't answer you neither. I mean, look at yourself. Look at how you're living. You're trying to call down the fire of God to a broken altar that the world has destroyed.
Hello.
And you stood there and let them do it.
Mm-hmm.
He repaired the altar. He started this thing off right. He waited till the right time. He got the altar right. Listen to this, verse number 31. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, "Israel shall be thy name." And with these stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. Now, time out. 12 stones. Why did he do that? Are y'all ready for this? God didn't say, you got to have 12 stones on your altar. That ain't in there. I've looked at the text. God didn't say that. Go back to Leviticus when he's telling the priest how to build the altar. There wasn't 12 stones at the point. Why did he do it like that? Because he wanted to make sure everybody knew exactly which God he was serving. He said he had already repaired the altar, and he took 12 stones and he built up the altar with those 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob whom God had given his word to. Why? Because he wanted to make sure everybody understood, I'm doing it this way because this is the way that shows the glory of God.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, not only did he take a stand, I'm trying to show you that he did it the right way. Look at this. This is amazing. I've never seen this before today. Listen to this. And he made a trench about the altar, and as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. We'll come back to that. Verse number 33. And he put the wood in what? Order. In order. New Testament said like this, let all things be done decent and in order. I've preached this for years. I'm going to keep preaching it. There's a right way to do things. If you're going to do something for God, there is a right way to do it. This, and let me put it like this. I hear people say stuff like this. Well, I'll ask them, well, what about your son or your nephew or your cousin or whatever that you've been praying for? Well, they've been going to this you know, contemporary mega church over here in town, and they got a whole lot of problems over there, but at least they're going to church. Well, hey, listen, man. You can get the gospel off the back of a postcard and get saved, and thank God you can. But hear me out right here. When it comes to the things of God, they ought to be done in order. That's the right way to do it. And if you want the power of God, you got to do it the right way. That's the right way to do it. You understand? It ain't chaotic. It ain't all over the place. It ain't crazy. Y'all with me? Say amen.
Amen.
It ain't 15 people sitting in a room talking in 15 different made-up languages. Nobody knows what nobody's talking about. Or y'all understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's right.
That's the right way to do it. It's in order.
He put the wood in order. But preacher, the wood's going to get burned up either way. No, it ain't. Not if you don't put it in order.
Why does the wood matter? Because it's got to be in order to get the fire to come down. Preacher, why does it matter that we do the things that we do a certain particular way? Because if we want the fire to come down, it's got to be done right.
Yeah.
I have people ask me all the time, please don't do this to me.
This is a small group in here, but I'm being recorded just fine. Please don't do this to me. Are y'all willing to say amen?
Amen.
If you left another church to come to Down East Baptist Church because whatever reason, you wasn't getting fed, bad things happened, big church split, yada, 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 right? Don't come to me and say, well, at my old church, they done it like this. Well, by George, y'all go back.
Yeah.
I mean, where I come from, they done it like such and such. Well, hey, maybe that's why they never had the fire.
Maybe.
Maybe that's why the power of God wasn't in it, and ain't nobody been saved there in 25 years. I'm just being real. At least call it what you want to. A preacher's just trying to be real with you tonight. He put the wood in order. What does it matter about the wood? Because he's got to be in order for the fire to come down. At my old church, we used to have Saturday night gospel singings. And we'd sit around for 9 hours and listen to gospel music. I can't even get people to come to church for 30 minutes at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. We're going to sit around all night and listen to gospel music. God help us. Well, what's wrong with gospel singing, preacher? Hey, look up in here. If they can sing all they want to, but if you get a crowd as big as I've seen some of these gospel singers and ain't nobody preaching to them, you got a problem.
That's right.
In your church. Something's out of whack.
Amen.
That's why they talk about the fire, but they're not about the fire.
That's
some of y'all got tightened up right there. That's okay. Preacher, how come we don't this, that, but listen to me now. There's a right way to do things. There's a certain way that God has ordained. Preacher, how come we don't have a deacon board? Because I'm still your pastor, that's why.
Yeah.
And I'm still, hey, listen, I still believe my Bible, that's why. And if anybody, let me make sure I say this into the microphone so everybody in the internet land can hear me. If anybody, I challenge, if anybody can show me a deacon board in Scripture, I'll give you my Bible and quit and go home. Because it ain't in there. Ain't no such a thing. God ordained an order of things. Well, preacher, you're just a man. You're right. Matter of fact, most days I feel like I'm probably the least spiritual member of Down East Baptist Church. But God's called me to a certain position.
Yeah.
Amen. And you agreed to it.
Yeah.
Amen.
You agreed to it or you wouldn't be here. Listen now. There's things supposed to be done in order. I'm disposable just like that wood. One day I'll be gone. And somebody else will be standing behind this pulpit. I hope it's over yonder by then. I hope I live and stay here long enough to see it be over there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But one day I'll be gone. And somebody else will be standing behind this pulpit. We're interchangeable. Brian, you understand? Preach, we're interchangeable. But it's still an order of things. The wood, you go get more wood, but you ain't gonna have to worry about it if you don't put it on the altar in the right order.
I don't know why I'm hung up right there, but I feel real good about that. There's an order to things. He did it the right way. How'd he get the fire, preacher? He did it the right way. Well, why can't we do it like this or like that? Hey, we could if we wanted to, but we wouldn't get the fire.
I'm hung up right here. Because I'm so sick and tired of God's people questioning a man that wants to take his church further into the things of God. Well, you know, our church don't have any 5-day revival meetings no more. We just go to Wednesday. Everybody got things to do. They ain't got time for that. Well, listen, he ain't in here tonight, but I'm sure glad that Zach was in here on Thursday night.
Amen.
Hey, I'm sure glad we kept the meeting going on Thursday night, praise God, and so Zach can go to heaven. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying?
Amen.
I'm sure glad we didn't quit on it on Wednesday night and say, well, we just ain't got time for all that. We got other things we got to do. You think I wasn't tired on Thursday night? But when I seen that boy get up out of that pew and start toward this altar, I got rejuvenated. Amen. I saw the fire of God move because we've done things the way God wants them.
That's right. Amen.
He put the wood in order. The heathens had acted in chaos, but Elijah acted in order. Then listen to this. Verse number Let's see, 32. Second half of verse 32. And he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. He dug a trench. That ain't all he done. Listen to this. Why was he digging a trench, preacher? Check this out. Verse number 33. He put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water. Wait a minute. Time out. Been in a drought for 3 years. Been in a drought for 3 years. Elijah must know something everybody else don't know. Listen to this. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it. He poured it, filled the 4 barrels of water, poured on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. Y'all ever tried to burn wet wood? And he said, do it the second time. They did it the second time. He said, do it the third time. They did it the third time. Can you imagine being one of Elijah's servants right here? They're saying he's lost his ever-loving mind. Not only is he fixed to get us killed up here on top of this mountain, but we're going to thirst to death on the way to getting killed. I can't imagine how much water Elijah had in reserves. Probably won't much more than 3 barrels. I've always wondered about where that water come from. Are y'all listening to me? Must have been Elijah's water because sure ain't nobody else going to let him go to their house and take their water. So what was he doing right there? 2 things. Number one, he was showing his faith. Because way back yonder at the beginning of this chapter, God said, you're going to go up here and deal with this. Go when you see Ahab, tell him it's going to rain. Go back at the beginning of the chapter. He said, go find Ahab, tell him it's going to rain. Well, he went to Ahab before he could tell him it was going to rain. Ahab bowed up at him. He said, I'll tell you what, let's go to the top of the mountain and figure this thing out. You know, that's one of them. If he was from Bakertown, he said, let's take it outside. Amen. Yeah. He knew it was going to rain. Why was he using all his water up? Because he wasn't worried about it. Because he knew God was fixing to send water. Listen to this. He dug a trench around the thing. Put water in that. He was proving God's power. He acted in a way that left room for God to show how powerful he really was. Look back in the text and show me where God said, now when you get up there, make sure that you dig a trench and fill it up with all the water you got laying around. It ain't in there. Elijah, hey, listen, I ain't saying I wasn't there. God may have told him in secret to do that. But I'm thinking Elijah probably come up with that. Yeah. While he's sitting there watching them other idiots all day long. He probably thought, you know what? When I get down to this thing, how many barrels? Hey, Leroy, how many barrels of water we got back here in the cart? 3. Bring them on up here to top of the mountain and get ready. I'm fixing to show these boys something. God's going to prove himself right here. Because, hey, listen, if the fire falls from heaven, it don't make no difference if you got water on the wood or not.
That's right.
He was fixing to show him God's power. Elijah was getting bold in the power of God. He didn't have to do that. He did it because he was proving a point. God, it does not need your magic tricks. He don't need your assistance. He don't need you to conjure him up or help him up. God's fixing to show you what he can do. He said, what did he do next, preacher? This is probably the most important part that we have the hardest time with. He got the wood in order. He got the altar in order. He done it God's way. He done it by the book. He set everything right that the world had tore apart. He poured the water on it just to make sure they understood who God was. He said, what did he do next, preacher? He prayed and he got out of the way. Listen to his prayer. He did not give God an ultimatum. He said, God, show him what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
If I could boil that whole prayer down, here's what he said. He said, God, I want them to know that you are God. He said, I want these people to see your power. He said, what did he do next, preacher? He shut his mouth and got out of the way. He got out of the way and let God work. He didn't try to do it on his own. Brother Brian, he didn't get the flints out. He didn't get the big lighters out. He didn't get a can of gasoline out. Listen, he did his part thoroughly and properly without grumbling or complaining. He did what God wanted him to do. He took everybody to the top of the mountain. He let them boys act a fool. He put the altar back together. He set everything right. He set it all up. He did his part, but he knew that he could not. Hey, listen, it was that he put that water on the altar just to prove the point that he knew that natural fire was not going to get the job done. And when he got to that point that there was nothing else he could do, he had the discernment to recognize when he had reached the place where it was only going to get done if God did it. Some of us need to learn how to reach the place where we look around and say, the only way this is going to happen is if God does it. And it's time for us to get out of the way. Quit trying to fix it. Quit trying to upend it. Quit trying to impress our desires on it. And just get out of the way. Because, hear me out right here. God does what he says he's going to do.
Amen.
Not only did God do it, but when God did it, are y'all with me? When God did it, Elijah saw it through. Listen to this. God acted. Are y'all with me? Say amen.
Amen.
Verse number 39. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal. Let not one of them escape. And they took them. And Elijah brought them down to the brook Kidron and slew them there. Tell you what Elijah did. He let God make an opening. God got everybody on Elijah's side there for a minute. And Elijah said, this would be a real good time to deal with these problems, Baal. Let me go ahead and handle this business while I'm here. Hey, you know what? It makes it a whole lot harder for people to get into Baal worship when there ain't no prophets of Baal.
That's right.
He said, I tell you what, while God's moving, I'm going to go ahead and deal with this problem right here. Right now. Hey, listen, when there's an opening, when God creates for us an opening, it's time to take action.
Amen.
When God moves, you ought to move.
Amen.
But a lot of times, here's what we do. God moves, we do all the things, and we get to the point, and God moves in our life, and he creates an opening. Are y'all ready for this? But we don't like the way that opening looks.
Please don't.
That's fixing to be a hard day. I don't know how hard it is to kill 450 people next to the bank of a dried up river, but it's probably not easy. And they didn't have no AR-15, amen. And I'm talking about they didn't have none of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That was going to be some work involved in that thing. But God opened the door.
Mm-hmm.
Elijah looks around. All of a sudden, everybody's with him.
Please go, man.
Time to take action. Let's do this thing. I done got them all up to the top of the mountain now. We got them surrounded. Get after them. Hey, y'all. Some of us spend years of our lives preparing and begging for God to make a move, and God finally moves, and he said, and he opens the door for us, and we say, I don't like that door.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all with me?
Yeah.
I can take this spot. I'll stand in this yard. I can take to the spot. I'll stand in this yard when I had the first conversation with the administration at CCS. And I can tell you the thought that was on my mind. This is the dumbest thing I've ever... there's no way I'm doing this. This is literally crazy. Why in the world would I want to do such a ridiculous thing? Yep, y'all with me?
Yes.
And over the course of the next few days after that, you were there. God was just pushing the door open.
Yep.
Pushing the door open. I tried to close it.
Mm-hmm.
I got thoughts too. I went in the interview, y'all. I'm bearing myself to you a little bit right here. Is that okay? I'm not ashamed of what God's done in my life. I went in the interview. I sat down. Vicki, this is honest truth. I sat down and they started talking to me and I said, wait. Before we go any further in this thing, you understand that I am in no way qualified for this job. I said, I don't want to waste y'all's time or my time.
And they said, "That's fine." I said, "Okay, now I'm telling you, this is why." "That's fine. We want you." Say, "What's that? What's that? That looks like God opened up a door."
That's right.
Say, "What do you do when God opens up a door? You go through it.
Right.
You go through it, or you either spend the rest of your life standing on the other side of it, thinking about what might be on the other side."
Yeah, sure, that's right.
Elijah looked around, and God had just created an opening for him. He said, "I'm fixing to deal with these prophets of Baal. We're gonna finish this thing. Hey, y'all, we need to see some things through for God."
Yes.
There ain't no telling how many people, and listen, I think about stuff like this, Brother Brian. There ain't no telling how many preachers God has called to the mission field and opened up a door, made it clear to them, and they said, "Yeah, no, I'm good." Think about that. There ain't no telling. What we need to do, you say, "Okay, Lord, I saw you move. We see the fire. It's time. Hey, let me put it on your level." How many times God moved in this church? I'm talking about a manifestation, a tangible manifestation of God. People getting saved. Lives getting changed. Things happening. God's in it. And you've been under conviction. God was opening the door just to bring you a little bit closer.
Please don't.
And you said, "I don't want to go through that door. I know what I'm going to have to do to go through that door. Ain't going to be easy."
Elijah saw it through. He made his next move based on the opening that God made. And verse number 41, Elijah said unto Ahab, "Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain." You know, I've always wondered about that sound. Nobody else heard it but him.
Might have just been that Elijah had gotten himself to the place where he was so in tune with God.
Yeah.
That he knew that he could hear it coming before it got there. I keep reading into it. He says that he sends his servant, says, "Go down yonder and look.
See, ain't there a cloud coming?" He come back, "No. Ain't no clouds." He told him again. He said, "Keep going down there and looking." Seven times he sent him. He sent him, "Go down there and look. I believe there's going to be a cloud coming." Here's what the man come back and said. He said, "Elijah, I saw a cloud that was the size of a man's hand." Now, I don't know if that meant that it was like that and it was the size of his hand, or if it was an actual size that big. Or I don't know. He might have just been tired of going down there and looking. And he said, "I think you're right. I've seen something. I'm pretty sure I've seen something." Here's what I know. Elijah never questioned whether or not it was going to rain.
That's
right. Yeah. Because
he knew God was going to do what he said he was going to do.
Amen.
Because he gave God room to prove himself. And God did exactly that.
Amen.
Now,
I said all this to say this. If we're going to have the fire of God over the course of time, there's some of these things that we're going to have to be consistent about.
Amen.
When the altar is broken down, somebody's going to have to repair it.
That's right.
When we see a crack in the foundation, somebody's going to have to be the one to seal it up. Y'all understand? When we look around and the wood ain't in order, you know, hey, y'all all right? I find it interesting. The wood wasn't in order. Everybody understand that? Say amen.
Amen.
The wood didn't be got in order. I find it interesting that it don't say, "And Elijah called the pastor and said, 'Preacher, the wood is not in order. And you need to bless God, get the wood in order.'" I find it interesting that Elijah didn't go to Bridgeville and sit down to breakfast with all the old men and say, you know, I was down there the other day and the wood just wasn't in order. He said, what did he do? He put his hands on the work.
Amen.
Got it done. He did what he could do. He didn't wait for somebody else to do it.
That's right.
Amen.
The prophets of Baal had a whole lot of help. Elijah just had himself. That thing was between him and God.
Amen.
Because I tell you what will happen. If you get the things in your world right, to where God begins to send his power in your life, and you get the things in your world right, to where God begins to send his power in your life, so on and so forth, before long it'll become very visible in our church that the power of God is present in the things of this church. When the people of God have the power of God in their life, I can't do it for you. I can't worship God for you. I can't get right with God for you. I can't make things happen for you. Only thing I can do, listen, only thing I can do is preach you the book. Only thing I can do is expound the instruction manual. Whether or not you do what it says is up to you. How Elijah got the fire. My soul. Hey, listen. I like that God sent the rain. Because, man, they needed the rain. There was a famine on. Physically, in their flesh, they needed the rain. But I'm real glad before he done it, he sent the fire. I want everybody in here to be abundantly blessed in their physical life. But I'll be honest with you. Before I want that, I want to see God move. More than I want that, I want to see God move. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You stand.